Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday, how would you like your life to be? Record and listen. We just throw such big questions at people, don't we?
Yeah, just a little something to look at, you know, if you're stuck in traffic.
So here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Karen from North Carolina.
Hey, Karen.
Hi.
How would you like your life to be?
Oh, my goodness. Well, my life is exactly so... So perfect now, and doing this exercise just was such a lit up experience. You know, of course, conditioning, yeah, you know, like with a lot of these, well, most of these assignments, conditioning will pop up first with its answer, and it's usually from there's something wrong, there's not enough, to let that go and then to use this as a wonderful projection exercise. And not everything that I recorded, it's not that there aren't paths and to take and places that I'm going, but it's just, it was a fabulous experience.
Well, and what I hear in that, Karen, is that that's all part of how you would like your life to be. It is the way it is, because the way you want it to be, because it's always unfolding.
Yes.
Right?
It is.
Yeah. So it's not like, my life is the way I want it to be, and now we're just going to put that in concrete and make sure it stays that way. But part of what you love about your life is that it is unfolding in new and really interesting and exciting ways all the time.
Yes.
That's what I project.
Yes, and I have this relationship with a teenager through Big Brothers Big Sisters, and we were together last night, and she's opening up to me now about difficulties in her life and challenges that she's facing, and it is really remarkable for us to stand in that place with each other of life unfolding, and to be there for her, and how much she's giving me in return.
Uh-huh. And for, I project again, for somebody at that stage in their life to be with somebody who has the same kinds of experiences and is fine with them and actually embraces them and looks forward to them, that's got to be a remarkable experience, because I think that's not information that a lot of people, especially young people, get that it is about learning and growing and changing, and it's an adventure and it's exciting and there's more to come and we don't know and all of those kinds of things that are not popular with ego, but that we know to be true, and you can model for her. Yeah.
And, it's just amazing because, to be with a person who she has difficulties that I haven't had, but to be there in support of her and instill that place, we'll get through this together, and she has a lot of support, even
yes.
in those moments when she might not feel like it.
That's right.
And I love what I'm hearing. Go ahead.
Well, you love what you're hearing yourself say to her.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's that wonderful mentoring place, isn't it? But, you know, Karen, I bet what is true is the content of your lives is different.
Yes.
But the process is exactly the same, because it's the same for all of us. Whatever our circumstances, we're really up against the same thing. Some circumstances make it a lot harder to see that, but that doesn't change the process.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just had this thing drop in, not to minimize any of her experiences, but I'm just now starting my fundraising for the Africa Project, and I'm going to help get her involved with it, with me.
Oh, fun.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah. And absolutely.
And yeah, just another perspective and something for us to share.
Yeah, and to take her on the website, go on the website with you and talk about the project and who these people are and again, how their circumstances, the content of their lives is so different. But the process is exactly the same.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you, Karen.
You.
Very
happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, and to you.
Oh, it's tomorrow.
You.
Oh, well.
That's right.
I might not talk to you tomorrow.
That's right. Although we plan to be here. So hopefully we won't be here by ourselves. But if we are, as we know, Ashwini and I can talk plenty for everybody.
Well, I can be there. I have nothing else scheduled
good.
At this hour.
Excellent. Excellent. All
right. All right. Thank
See you tomorrow.
You.
Okay.
See you tomorrow.
Bye
bye.
Sherry, I just lost the cue, so hang on 1 second.
Oh, okay.
Okay, here's our next caller.
All right.
You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Okay, let's try this one. Hello?
Hello?
Okay, I think we have a caller.
Is somebody there besides you and me, Ashwini?
I hope so.
Who's that?
Next caller?
You got to say something or we can't tell you're there.
Hello, anyone home?
Oh, wow, you can't hear
yes,
us.
Yes, yes, yes. Who is that?
Sounds like Ramita.
Let me try. Yeah,
oh,
Ramita,
yes,
can you hear us?
I'm here. Yes, yeah. My goodness, I'm here, yes. Oh, here I am.
And here we are. We're all here together.
Well, how convenient. How convenient.
Isn't that good?
Another thing to be grateful for.
To.
Yes.
Exactly.
Oh, goodness. Well, let's see. Just this morning, I had this amazing, it felt like I saw something big, and I'd be interested in what you see, Sherry. I've been looking at time and structuring time as I move into retirement, and, you know, how do I want my life to be? And I'd much rather have life structure it than the way it's been going. And I caught a glimpse, you know, not just the voices here and there that tell me how to spend time, but it was like the whole scaffolding, this three-dimensional calendar producing, you mentioned concrete earlier, you know, this concrete structure in my head that had me sequencing, you know, you do this now and you can't do that until this is complete and this is how that's supposed to go, and this is what's important. And the whole thing, I saw the whole thing as a structure that I can just ignore.
But to see it as the concrete structure that it is, how helpful. That it's not just, it's not just these things that sort of randomly come through your head. And if you see them, then great. And if you don't, well, you don't know that they're there. No, this is much more solid than that, right? This is a brainwashing program. It's kind of like if you were going to learn another language, and you went to one of those programs that is laid out to teach you that other language. That's similar to what exists inside our heads, right? It's meant that in every moment you will know what to do, where to look, and what to do now.
Exactly. All the priorities have been set. It's all written in stone, and it's unalterable. And that's where I am supposed to look whenever a question of what's next you know, what do I do? Right. That's what happens. I look there. And to see it as a structure somehow feels easier to drop in to say, oh, my goodness, I don't have to go there. And I can actually write down, I think we talked at one point about not being able to do it in anything other than pencil, but pen and paper, and consult conscious compassion and awareness to say, okay, what is my priority for today? What's my priority for this week? What's life's priority? And and then with that increasing sense of there's gaps, gaps, instead of looking to that calendar or that encyclopedia, I can actually, I have something tangible to turn attention to.
Which is when you can bring in the mentor, right?
Yeah.
That you can use it, you can use that space to sit, to talk with the intelligence that animates, to do all that you know to do to get here and look from here rather than what we're so trained to do, which is to let conditioned mind look to the structure.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So those moments, you know, people call them senior moments. Well, I'm seeing them as life's opportunity to say, you know, drop in and let this form be informed.
Yes. Yes. And to actively pursue those, right? Which is a walk outside to look at a tree or the sky, to consult the sky, you know, to increasingly do things, have that time in silence and in solitude, find a bench with a beautiful view and sit on it and just be with life and develop that habit is not a good word, skill, develop that ability to look to life, to recognize life informing rather than conditioned mind, the habit of conditioned mind consulting that pre-programmed structure.
Yes.
Because what you're telling us, Ramita, which is true, is that if we don't take that upon ourselves to cause those breaks, egocentric karmic conditioning self hate will just fill it in. It's like a blind spot in our vision, right? It'll just fill it in.
Yeah, and it's like this magnet. Look at me. Here's the attention. Bring it over here. You don't know what to do. You have to look here in order to. And life doesn't work at the same pace that conditioned mind does. And like you say, there are gaps. There are natural pauses that happen, and to be present for the pauses and just let life soak into me. This is how I want to live. This is how I want my life to be. And I feel so grateful. Here I go into, you know, what some are calling the third phase of life. Here I go. I'm not going to have the same structure of the workaday world. It's going to shift, and I have more freedom to choose.
And you don't want to turn that over to ego.
Absolutely.
Because one of the biggest traps is now I get to do whatever I want to do. That is a trap. Because you know the only one saying that is one that you do not want to do what it wants to do.
Right. That's got its little trowel and its cement and its is plastering those walls closed, that putting bars around me, and
that's right.
And making sure
that you will do what I want you to do, says ego.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's a fun time.
It sure is, and I'm so grateful for Sangha to help support me with this. This is fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
Very grateful.
Yeah. So you don't just slide off into full-time egocentricity. Take up shopping as your new hobby.
No!
No! Thanks, Ramita.
All right. Thank you, Sherry. Bye-bye. Bye, Ashwini.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Ramita.
It's so, just to listen to how conditioning works in terms of sequences and borders, and what rigidity was what dropped in when I was hearing you guys talk about it, and that it's so dead. And to
right.
live in that that place that I think you refer to as being informed by insight, to be natural with life and life space rather than be controlled by that rigid programming. It just the difference viscerally is so different.
Yeah, that was quite an image too. Dead and rigid.
You know, yes,
that's what can happen to us when ego has full control. We're like a corpse with rigor mortis,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
it's not a pretty picture, is it?
No, there's no juice.
Right.
You know, there's no that joy of being alive, the organic experience of unfolding, the messiness of it necessarily, or I don't know how, not messy, but just there's just juice and the absence of juice.
Yeah, Ramita said the third stage of life. And so it's really an opportunity, I think. So in the beginning of life, we had that just open-eyed wonder because
mm-hmm.
we didn't know anything, and we didn't know that we were supposed to know anything, and we were just here. And then we got the programming, and you have to be this, and you have to be that, and it means this and that, and every bit of spontaneity and juice just gets sucked out of a person. And then there's this opportunity for the third phase where what we can do is have that open-eyed, open-hearted wonder of the child with the intelligence, the wisdom that animates us, which is why,
mm-hmm.
of course, in much of the world, that's seen as the time that we really devote ourselves full-time to awareness practice because,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're getting ready for the next transition. And so... It is a beautiful time of life, if
mm-hmm.
yeah, if we recognize it for the opportunity that it is, because otherwise conditioning is going to make hay
mm-hmm. of identification. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello, Sherry. Hello, Ashwini.
Hello.
Hello.
It's Claire from London.
Hello, Claire.
Hi.
How would you like your life to be?
Well, I noticed that it all adds up to life should be easy.
Ooh, isn't that a killer?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I'm so unaware of it most of the time.
Yeah.
But I'm working like mad.
You know, you're not alone in that, as you've noticed. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that is such a deep part of conditioning among the privileged. Right. It's one of the true signs of privilege. Right. If you're scraping out an existence somewhere with no possibility of anything else going on, that's not going to occur to you probably. Maybe, I don't know, but I doubt it. But for those of us for whom life is easy, it's as if it can never actually be easy enough to satisfy us.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just got to be convenient at all times.
All times, yeah. Nothing that will upset me, nothing. Actually, I would project, and maybe this is what you're seeing too, nothing will ever... jar me into wakefulness.
Yes, yes, definitely, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, what I'd have to let go of to jump ahead is sleepiness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So ego, which is what that identification is, right? Just
mm-hmm.
wants to. What Ramita was just talking about. It just wants to call the shots. It wants to complain. find out what's wrong. Karen mentioned this. What's wrong? What's not enough? And go along through the day, griping and grousing, in a state of semi sleep, where it won't be disturbed.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
God, what a picture, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. And I also noticed that I've got this kind of mental shopping list of, you know, what I want my life to be at some time in the future that will just kind of magically happen because I might not put the effort into it.
Oh, that's another one. That is so perfect. Right. Right. Some point. And so the two main places, right, I would guess for a lot of people, someday I'll be happy, magically. I don't need to do anything to make that happen now because it's just going to happen. And someday I'll have enough money. Yeah. I don't know about where you live, but in this country, that is a disastrous magical thinking. I mean, people just go along living their lives with no thought about actually doing anything to get ready for this time when they don't have to work and they can do whatever they want to do. And it's that something will happen and I'll have enough money.
Oh, yeah.
What a grisly setup, huh?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yes. And the other thing I noticed was that when I answered the question, I did what I've mentioned to you before, which was, first of all, I come up with the good person answer. So it was like the first thing I did was, how would you like your life to be? So, you know, if the clearer my awareness is, the more I perceive life as it is really is. It's my relationship with life that is the important thing. Da di da di da, and then then I thought, okay, let's answer the question.
Now let's get real.
Yeah, let's get real. This is what I really think. Yeah.
Well, and again, we can see that both of those are operating, right? Because there's a way. Well, there's how I operate on a daily basis, which is all of this stuff that we're talking about. You know, something's going to happen. It'll be okay. And not in a I trust life, I'll be fine no matter what, because that does not include I'll wind up living on the streets. That is not the I trust life and I'll be fine part of it, right? It means I trust life, I'll be fine, a miracle will happen, and I'll still get everything I want. And so there's, you know, how that goes on a daily basis. But then there is that deeper knowing that kind of looks a lot like that right person response, right? Which is, it's how I am that matters. It's actually not what goes on, which could inform how we are on a daily basis now, right?
Yes. I understand that is you know, that is not only the right person answer, but it's also, you know,
the right answer.
Yeah, the right answer. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, it is the right answer.
Yeah. Oh, I love it, don't you?
Yeah.
And so, how you want your life to be? Again, I'm gonna project for most of us doing awareness practice that how we want our life to be is how it is, in the sense that we want to be doing our best to wake up and end suffering all the time, even when it's a struggle to get through this stuff. It's not that from the heart, we don't actually want to be magically transported to another place. We want to be doing what we're doing. We want to participate and show up and be an equal player with life, an equal partner.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. We want to believe that awareness brings you more joy and it's richer and more pleasurable than what ego says, I want.
Mm-hmm.
which is often we're tricked out of believing that.
Yes, in fact, I would say at this point we know that that's true, and still ego can fool us into believing that something else is the case.
Yes.
It's a good adventure we're engaged in, isn't it?
It is.
It's a noble pursuit. We're very fortunate actually to be having this experience, because even though our lives are just exactly like everybody else's, we have a better sense of what's going on. All right. Well, thank you, Claire.
Thank you, Ashwini.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
We have time for one more caller, Sherry, so here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, wow. This is Kim calling from Vashon.
Hello, Kim.
Hello. Oh, I'm very excited to be here.
What are you seeing? How do you want your life to be?
Well, I've been taking the death and dying class, I've been thinking about this a lot in the context of that. And so, you know, we're talking about legacy right now, and, you know, how I want my life to be is in unconditional love. And that's how I want my legacy. That's my legacy, because I don't really have anything else as a material wise. But what I see as my trajectory right now is that by living that my kids will have that as their as what they inherit from me.
Yes, that they have. They have an actual experience of that.
Yes, and that they will, that I would like it for them to, you know, to have that and to pass that on in the world.
Yes, absolutely. You know, a lot of people, just because of the way conditioning seems to be structured, a lot of people talk about experiencing unconditional love with a grandparent. Because the parents are busy raising the kids, you know, and doing all the things, all the very stressful things that come with that. And whereas the grandparents have done that, and life can tend to be different. The perspective is different. And what is seen is, what children really need, even more than knowing to chew with their mouth closed, not that that's not important, is that they're unconditionally loved. So, yeah, you need all the rules and regs, and you need to blah, 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 and all the things your parents are going to teach you, but you also need unconditional love. And so to get a jump on that, you know, to realize that's the highest priority with one's children, then when the grandchildren start arriving, it's the whole family context can be shifted, can be different than it would have been if mom's highest priority weren't unconditional love.
Right. And I still, you know, when you talk about preparing for retirement or having the magical thinking of everything, that kind of hit home with me. And so, you know, there are ways that I want my life to be that then I need to set up, mindfully a structure for that.
Yeah, we need to do it now, right? That Zen truth, and not just with Zen, but that... how do we want the future to be, we better be doing that now, because it's always going to be now. There, you know, this isn't actually leading to anything except here. And so I need to have this moment the way I want those moments, because that's my best hope of having an outcome that I choose. right? Because the process is the outcome. So I need to get that process down now.
Right, and then that kind of runs into a little bit of, well, I want to encounter whatever I need in order to wake up.
That's right.
So
it goes nicely, doesn't it? So if you're choosing unconditional love, which is my personal favorite, as you know, then as you go about your days, that's your constant choice, no matter what happens. I can promise you there is no better way to wake up. Yeah, because whatever comes your way, you're going to practice to the best of your ability embracing that in unconditional love. That's your transformation. That's your gift.
Thank you.
Yeah. Does that hang together?
Thank you. It does.
Yeah.
It does.
Okay, good.
The thing I
love best about it, Kim, is that it actually is very straightforward. There is one simple answer to everything. So we don't have to actually look to conditioned mind to figure out, well, what do I do now, or what do I say now, or how do I think about this, or how can I figure? We don't have to do any of that, because there's one simple, straightforward answer to what we're practicing. It's very handy.
I love it. Thank
Me
you.
Too.
Thank you, Kim.
Thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
And to you.
Thanks, Kim. I love it too, Sherry. It is really straightforward.
It is. That is so good.
So our assignment for today, in order to have that, the life that you want, or how you'd like your life to be, what would you need to let go of, accept, be willing to do? Record and listen.
Get into the details.
All right. We'll talk to everybody on Thanksgiving.
Yes. All right. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
Take care. Bye-bye.